Stand with me for a minute then. Hallelujah. Father, these are the people. They're your people. They're here to hear from you, not from me. They were here to give you praise and worship, and now they're here to receive, to be fed by you. I'm one of those, Lord. I stand in the need of feed. I love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We place you at the highest place. You be the Alpha so that you can be the Omega. We place you in the Alpha position. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Take your word. Expound upon it this morning. Sink it deep in our hearts. And for that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I thought they said there was no children's church. They're confused. You're confused and confusing. Because then you said there was no children's church, and then you said there's no children's church next week. Hey, children, take those teachers back there and get them straight. If this big kid can't follow you, how much more the little children, huh? Hallelujah. All right, what did we talk about last week? Prayer? Okay, what's the purpose of prayer then? That's one. What did he say? I can't hear. Talking to God, okay. Bear one another's burdens. Let me ask you this. What is it not about? Selfishness. It's not about me, right? Part of what we know to pray is, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And I will remind you that if it's not that way, if it's about you, what you're saying is, My kingdom come, My will be done. When you pray for the will of God, are you in the will of God? Then when you pray for the will of God, you're already praying for yourself. Don't waste any more time. Pray for somebody else in the kingdom. And I guarantee you God's going to hear it like He heard Solomon. He didn't pray for himself. Pray for the people. Give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Give me judgment. Give me justice for the people. And God blessed Solomon, right? If you want to get blessed, that's how you're going to get blessed. You're going to do it by praying for others. So the purpose of prayer is for the kingdom of God. You throw yourself in there, but don't pray so much for yourself. You'll get more out of it. All right, today is part two of this series. I told you that number one was the purpose of prayer, and number two is how to pray. So today we're going to study about how to pray. We talked about the purpose and what to pray. Now we're going to say, actually, we're going to just bleed right on into what and how to pray. What to say. Did you know that there's something that you're required to say in prayer? Did you know that? It's not written down in any manual except the Bible. You're not going to find it in somebody else's writings of prayer. You're not going to get it by opening up the back of the hymnal and quoting some goofy thing that man wrote. You're going to get it by doing what Jesus tells us to do. You got it? Now come on, I don't want you to miss this. We are not freelance prayers. We've been instructed on how and what to pray. Do you know that? We've been instructed on some things not to pray. Did you know that? So as we look at this, let's figure out where we've been amiss. Where we've been praying where God said not to, and how God said not to. All right. I'm going to try to move on because there's a dozen pages to cover. And I may not get through. Let's just see what happens. Last week I read to you from Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 17. Let me refresh your memory. The purpose of prayer. Nehemiah wrote this. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in. Anybody in here in a little distress? They don't have some problems in your life that need to be taken care of. So the man of God says, look, people are in distress. How Jerusalem lies in waste. Now, that's the people of God, and that's the peace of the people of God. It lies in waste. You're not at peace. Its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be in reproach. You remember last week I told you that it's not you that is in reproach. It's God that's in reproach. We put Him there. By allowing these walls and gates to be burned and knocked down, we need to figure out how to get them back up. I told you that it's not about me. Nehemiah didn't say me is in reproach. He said we. I told you, number one, it's not me, it's we. Number two, it's not I that is going to build the wall of protection, it's us. So I need you to listen to this and practice this, not just listen. Number three, it's God and us that's in reproach. The world has no worry about our concerns. Do you understand that? The world's not praying for us. The world's not concerned about us. In fact, the world wishes we would go away. So it's us against them. It's not I against you. It's us against them. Them being those that have determined to serve the devil. I didn't say non-Christians. I said those that have determined to serve the devil. Christians can determine to serve the devil and lose all the blessings and bring curses upon you. You remember some time ago I preached to you that unless two can agree, how can they walk together? Which means don't walk with people that don't agree with God. All right. If we want to please God, anybody here want to please God? All right, that is a prerequisite for peace and prosperity. You're not ever going to have peace and prosperity until you learn to please God. Why? Because He owns it all. You don't own it all. I don't own it all. God owns it all. So when we want it, we go to the source. We must serve God. We've got to serve Him in our prayers and in our actions. Now I'm going to read to you what I read last week, and I want you to listen carefully again. This is how Nehemiah prayed. This is how Nehemiah got totally blessed. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to read through verse 3 through 11. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3 through 11. If you want to know if I'm lying to you or not, pick your Bible up and open there. If you don't know how to do that, go to the front of the book and look and see the page number. This is a participatory sport. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. And they said to me, "The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire." So it was, when I heard these words, I forgot about me and I started thinking about them. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. This is the man that's living in the lap of luxury, has no want and no need, crying for want and need. This is what God's trying to lay on our hearts. If we learned to quit worrying about ourselves, we would be in the lap of luxury. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, You who keep Your covenant and mercy with those who love You and observe Your commandments, please let Your ear be attentive and Your eyes be open, that You may hear the prayer of Your servant, which I pray before You now, day and night, for the children of Israel, Your servants. I'm praying for those that are Your servants that have messed up. You got that? And confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against You. Both my father's house and I have sinned. Don't pray for the lowly ones. Don't pray for the screwed up ones. You understand what I'm saying? Don't get up here on your podium and start praying down to the people. Nehemiah got on the same level of want and need and pain as those that were in want and need and pain. We have acted very corruptly against You and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which You commanded Your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that You commanded Your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. Are the people of God united, are they scattered today? So it's still applicable for today. I don't care if you go to the biggest church in the world. It is still just a speck on the ocean compared to where we should be. Verse 9, "But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place where I have chosen as a dwelling for my name." So the only way you're going to dwell in Christ Jesus is in His character and authority. In other words, you're going to do it the way He does it. You're going to believe it the way He believes it. You're going to say it the way He says it. And you're not going to argue with Him. 10. Now, we're not going to come up with any branch beliefs either. "Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name." Now listen, this is a man that fears God, praying for those that desire to fear God. He's not praying for the entire world. Do you know some of us can get down to a point and place in our lives that we're just afraid? We're not afraid of God, we're just afraid. We're not just respectful of God and quiet, we're just plumb beat up and afraid. And we want to serve God and we want to do what He wants us to do, but somebody's not praying for us. So He's saying, for those that want to serve You and fear You, respect You, I pray for them. "And let Your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." Now let me review one more time what I told you last week was the purpose of prayer. I want you to remember this. The purpose of prayer, number one, is to stop the enemy from stealing from God and His. To stop the enemy from killing God's influence in this earth and killing His. And stop the enemy from lying and destroying God's influence in this earth. Without us, God has no influence in this earth. Without us, nobody is there to stop Satan. Because God did His work and turned it over to us. Where we've been failing is we've been trying to stop the influence of Satan in our lives so our kingdom can go forth. Instead of stopping Satan in the kingdom and to those people that are beat up and including us in those people. We're trying to preach at people instead of pray with people. Okay, that was number one. Number two. We pray to stop our disobedience. Nehemiah prayed for those that wanted to serve God, not for those that are disobedient to God. Nehemiah prayed for his and their forgiveness, but it's our disobedience that we pray for. Okay? Number three, we pray to build a church or a bride that is strong, healthy, and pure for Jesus. We don't stand side by side and look at each other and check out spot of wrinkles on the other guy, saying, "I think I'm going to be a better bride to Jesus than they are." We say, "Oh Lord, I see some things over there in those people. Oh, sorry, Jesus. I'm going to get over there with them in their spot and wrinkles, and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray that they become what, and we become what You would have us to be." You know what happens when we see faults, flaws, spots and wrinkles? It should point to us. Instead, we become judgmental. It should point to us. Number four, we pray to rule and reign for God. Not in the place of God. We don't rule and reign in the place of God. That makes us judges. We rule and reign for God. God give us that ability so that we can pray people out of distress. So we can become one with them and pull them to where they're supposed to be, or vice versa. They're praying for us to pull us where we need to be. Number five, The whole purpose of all of this, number 1 through 4, is to become that bride that ushers in the groom Jesus. Now we've already read, we know how Nehemiah prayed and how much it pleased God because he walked in prosperity and power all the days of his life. Let's look now and see how Jesus said to pray. You want to do that? Then let's turn to Matthew. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Very simple. You learned it when you were a kid, or you should have. But you've already forgotten it. You don't practice it on a daily basis. Even though Jesus said, this is the manner you should pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Now, I want you to read carefully here with me. I'm going to read the New King James. If you've got the King James, it's close. If you've got the NIV, I hope it's close. Now, I want you to understand what I just said. The NIV is fun to read, but it's not always close. Be careful. Make sure you're comparing it to the real versions. NIV doesn't like Jesus as well as King James and New King James. I promise you, you'll find it in there. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. So we start off on how not to pray. You shall not be like the hypocrites. For they, and this is what a hypocrite does. For they love to pray standing in the middle of people, in the synagogues. And on the corners of the streets they pray, loud and long. They pray on the bullhorns, and they pray on the television, and they pray on the radio, and they pray at the breakfast table, and the dinner table, and the supper table, and they pray at every family meeting, and they pray out loud, and they pray long, and they pray pretty. And they just pray and pray and pray, and they're known as prayers. And God says, don't be like the hypocrites. Now, did I step on enough toes? Well, I didn't. I just read it to you, and I'm going to explain it a little more. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. I want to be known as a prayer, so I enforce it. I make sure everybody knows that I pray. Why? I pray in front of them, I pray long, I pray loud, and I pray pretty. So that I can be seen and known that I'm a prayer. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now that scares me. When Jesus says they have their reward, that means there's none to come. Verse 6. You said you want to know how to pray? But when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That should get your attention. It doesn't say you be secret. It said that God's in the secret place. It says you just get out of the traffic. You get out of the eyes of men. You quit praying so people hear you. You pray so God who's in secret can hear you. Verse 7. And when you pray, please do not... It doesn't say please, does it? Do not use vain repetitions. What is a vain repetition? That is the same prayer over and over and over and over. Are the same words over and over and over and over. Now I'm going to step on your toes just a little more. Father God, 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 10,000 times in every prayer. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus, Jesus, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, 10,000 times over. If you talk to me on a personal basis, don't say my name every 2 seconds because I'm going to get tired of listening to you. I know who I am. You don't have to remind me who I am. I know my name. People that pray that way have practiced vain repetitions because they think the amount of blessings come with the amount of words. They don't have any idea that it's only the trueness and the sincerity of the heart that counts to God. Hasn't God, I'm telling you, help with a sincere heart is all you need to say. Help them with a sincere heart is all you need to say. You don't have to write a book on how to pray when you pray. Because it's already been done. There's nothing new under the sun. Don't try to outdo anybody because there's nothing new under the sun. There's no more new words. You can't pray better than people have prayed before you. It's like the people that believe in 144,000 are going to make it to heaven. Too late. Go to hell. There's already 144,000 people better than you. If that's all there is, let's quit. Man, I'm glad some of you don't call me up and talk to me like you talk to God. The same old prayer, the same old conversation, I'm going to hang up on you. I'm going to say, didn't we do this yesterday or just 5 minutes ago? Or I don't want to hear that again. Now, come on, is God real or is it some fictitious thing you've been taught? You know, He's real. He meets you at a real place, not a vain, repetitious place. Let me read it to you again. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. You're not in the judgment seat. I don't want to put you there. But you do smell, taste, and know fruit. And the Bible says if it's all vain repetitions, that's heathen. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Short prayers are the sign of children. Children only learn long prayers from foolish parents. Children learn how to get to the point and get it over with. Because, number one, they got something better to do. But most importantly, Father has something better to do. Now, they don't know that, but that's okay. The Bible says, unless you become as a little child, you will not understand the things of the kingdom. You will not get to meet the King. We need to get a little more childish in our prayers. Verse 8, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. See, we think we're in court. If we can just speak eloquently enough, then He'll finally, that stupid God, will understand. Come on. If He can understand the little children's prayers, do you think He can understand ours? So we don't have to meet any criteria about how we pray, except honest. Honest. Now, that's one of them. That's not the only one. Because you can honestly hate, too. So honestly love are the two words that must go together when you pray to God. If He already knows our needs before we ask, then what's the use to pray? Come on, little children. You've got to have read this somewhere and had this question in your mind. If He already knows what we need before we ask, what's the purpose to ask? Well, very little. If we'll read the prayer that Jesus is going to lay out here, there's very little need to ask. Let's go on. 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Is that in red letters in your Bible? You know, I believe that means Jesus said that. Do you think He might know how to pray?
Oh, I think so.
Okay, then it's a good example. I don't have to discuss with you whether Paul was mad or glad, whether he was in jail or he was out on the road. This is Jesus. Okay. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our, not my, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us, not me, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. When's the last time you knelt down and prayed for bread? No, what you do is pray for money to buy bread. You want to go through a middleman. You want to go through the middleman. You want to go through the boss or the company that you work for a raise or for wealth or for independence. When Jesus says, let's go straight to the Father. Well, the best I can tell, that's the only thing this whole prayer that Jesus asked for. So you've now been given permission and command. That's all you can ask for. And the cool part, it was us, not me. Now listen to this. And forgive us our debts as we forget our give our debtors. Which means no debts forgiven unless we've learned to forgive debts. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Amen. Now, do you want me to read that straight through and see how long that takes? Oh, but God, I've sworn to you that I'd pray for you an hour, to you an hour every morning. Well, could you please tell me what you're going to fill in these blanks for an hour? I'm going to tell you once we learn to pray, I'll tell you how to fill the blanks in for an hour. Everything that's said there, you just say 100 times over, and you're still not going to pray for yourself very much. You're going to spend all your time giving God praise. And you're going to forget, by the way, as you give praise to God, you're going to forget what you came for. That's what's really going to happen. You bent down there to pray for something in specifics about somebody else or you, and as you begin to worship and praise God according to this prayer, you're going to forget what you came for. That's why Jesus said pray this way, because He knew He'd get you straight. Now this is the example of prayer. Now that's my intro. Now we're going to study the prayer. Now we're going to study the prayer. How long is too long? Okay. I don't think we're going to get through with this. Let's study to show ourselves approved. Let's study. Let's get an understanding that we can practice this on a daily basis in our prayer. Why? Well, let's just get down to the crux of it. Here's what it... So, God the Father will reward you openly. That's why, right? All right. Let's don't be so stupid that we are so ignorant that we say we don't want to be rewarded. That'd be lying to me. It'd be lying in the face of God. Everybody in here wants to be rewarded. Let's be honest about that. Our heart's going to be correct when we begin to pray, reward them. Reward them. All right. Number one. Our number one instruction out of what we just read is never pray good prayers for men to hear. God never responds positively to those that exalt self. Now listen, I didn't say He didn't respond. I said He never responds positively to those that exalt themselves. So if I stand up here to pray to impress you, I'm getting my reward right then, and God is not responding positively. Now, do you know what it means by responding positively? Has anybody ever here seen a big old mama sow pig with a bunch of little ones? If she doesn't move just right, she kills and maims. You always want that mama pig to move positively. You want her to look around before she just flops down. Because if she doesn't, she hurts and kills her own. Is that a picture of the difference between moving positively and not moving positively? God is going to move. You prayed. He's going to move. We just want Him to move in the right direction. Come on. The right direction concerning and considering who? You and me. Our job is not to tell Him what's right. He knows that. But our job is to keep Him from shoving Him the wrong way. Explain it further. I will reward you openly for the proper way to pray. If I pray wrongly, I am shoving Him the other way, where He cannot reward me openly. And maybe so far that He can't reward me at all. That I've sought my own reward, I got my own reward. Anybody ever done that? Sought your own reward? All right. Matthew 6:5. We'll start there. It says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they shall love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. Number two, we must make all effort necessary, even in public, to make this a personal conversation between me and God. It is the only way He will listen. If I am conscious of the fact that you're standing here, I've lost consciousness of God. You have to be, did it say that I got to go in my room and shut the door? I have to do that here. You have to stop. I have to stop thinking about you. I have to see the face of God. I have to say, okay, now. A, stop. B, get your mind upon God and not who's standing around. C, concentrate. Look for His face. Listen for His will. See if the prayer that you might be given from God. This is very important. As many times when we pray, if we're in the right spirit, it is not us that prays, but it's God actually praying for things through us. And that's the key to prayer. The key to prayer is not fulfilling an obligation, like saying, God, don't let this food be poison. That's an obligation. When you can say to God, I'm going to eat this food, I don't need it, but somebody else does. Use it for your kingdom. Then you've found the heart of God. I didn't say you couldn't eat. I said ask God to use it for the kingdom. D. Speak as a friend to friend, a lover to lover. Don't speak as stranger to stranger. Don't go in the face of God and reintroduce yourself every day. Don't go to God and tell Him all about your last 100 years of history. Because He's already forgotten about that, and you're supposed to also. He doesn't want to talk to you about one thing that happened yesterday. He wants to tell you about what's supposed to happen tomorrow. You don't tell Him what you want to happen tomorrow. That's your kingdom come. You go to Him to find out what you're supposed to do for tomorrow. Three, God does not respond positively to many words or pretty words, only honest, heartfelt words. And that covers Matthew 6:7-8. It says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. My word, people of God, when Jesus says, do not be like them, take it serious. Four, God knows what we need. He wants us to know what we need. If you're busy telling Him what you need, He can't get in a word in edgewise to tell you what you need. Oh, God, I don't have any money. He already knew that. But he knows something else. He knows how to change that. So why don't you just shut up and let him tell you how to get over that? This is what you need. Don't tell him what you need. Don't you tell him what you need. You let him tell you what you need. Yes. Oh, God, I'm sick. I know, I can smell it all over you. Don't bring it in. Do you know that God will tell you, don't bring it in here where I am? Don't go bring it in here where I am. I got the balm of Gilead here. I got some anointing. I got some things that'll change this. If you'll shut up and listen, I'll give it to you. And he'll teach us how to pray. He'll teach us how to believe. He'll teach us how to pray for others. Because even if I go for anyone in here to pray, I first must know what's on the heart of God before I know how to pray. That was the very key to Nehemiah's prayer. He said, I want to help the people. The king saw it on his face. The king came to Nehemiah and said, I see it on your face. You've got a heart problem. What in the world can I do? Nehemiah walked away from the king and said, I don't know yet. I'm going to go talk to the real king and I'll be back and tell you in a minute. And when he came back, he was full of boldness. Why? Because it was God. He told him things far beyond anything he could have ever thought or asked. And he got that reward. He didn't just get that reward. He got rewarded personally because he didn't ask for what he thought the people needed. He asked for what God knew the people needed. Y'all are looking at me strange. Don't you understand what I'm saying? I got two head nods on that one. I wish I could tell you this. I don't care anything about what you need. I only care about what God says you need. Because you don't know what you need. If you knew what you needed, you wouldn't be in the need. If you could see it coming, you would have taken care of it a long time ago. Don't tell me, oh, if I only had this or I only had that. We need to get so in touch with God when we speak to each other. When we begin to tell about our needs, we'll just say, no, you need God. You don't need that. You need God. And then be bold enough to say, why don't we just shut up and be quiet for a minute and watch God tell us the answer to this thing. We don't speak God, we speak the need. God knows what we need. Here's the answer. But you, when you pray, go into your room. I find this interesting. Jesus says, you go into your room. He doesn't say you go into God's room. Why? Well, because if you go into God's room, your room, and shut out the world, you're going to end up in God's room. You want the elevator to God's room? Find that place where nobody can bug you and shut the door. Even if it's in the middle of a group. Well, you don't think I can't cut you off? Anybody here don't think I can cut you off? Ask my wife if I can't cut you off. I've got those ears that can hear 3 or 4 conversations at one time. And she knows that too. But I'm telling you, when I decide to cut off, then I can cut off. Because I've decided I don't want to hear what you have to say, I want to hear what God has to say. Don't be insulted. What are we going to understand? The only thing that counts is what God has to say. It's the only thing that counts. There is no knowledge in men. There's no wisdom in men. There's only in God. And if you're going to talk to a man, pray to God he listens to God instead of you when you talk to him. Can you imagine? God, I'm going to go seek counsel with so-and-so. Could you make sure? Could you just, for me, just this once, could you make sure he don't hear a thing I say? Wouldn't that be cool? God, don't let him hear a thing I say. Just make him hear from you. Go into your room. Shut the door. Pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Why is it referred to as the secret place? Why is it talks about God being in the secret place? Well, I can tell you one reassuring way, or meaning. is that nothing ever comes out that you tell him. Once it go in, it don't come out. It becomes a secret the minute you tell him. It's just that simple. It is a secret. Second, is the devil don't know where to find him. The devil can't get in to talk to him about you. The devil can talk to you about you, but he can't talk to God about you. God is smarter than most of us. When somebody comes with a tale, God says, I ain't listening to that. Don't care what you got to say. Now, don't show me your proof. I know better than you. Secret place. If you'll get the picture, well, I don't even want to talk about a Catholic confessional because it's not real secret. But if you could take that picture, you could go and meet the priest where nobody can hear the priest but you. And nobody can hear you but the priest. Then you found the secret place. The things that you talk to God about, you should be able to tell Him anything and ask Him anything, just like a little kid. When they embarrass you about sex questions, you get embarrassed. See, God don't get embarrassed. There ain't no secret question with God. There's nothing that God does not want to tell you. So this is even though it's like children talking to children, this is like extreme maturity talking to extreme maturity. We got down to the real truth here. I want to know it, and I want to tell it. If you'll do this, your Father will reward you openly. Oop. All right. I'm going to begin this. Now the beginning. All that other was intro. Part 1, 2, and 3 of intro. We got through the instructions of what not to do and what to do. Now we're going to start dealing with how to pray. If you can get a picture, if you'll write down on your notes, P-R-A-Y, in a vertical line to the left side, I'm going to fill in what that means. P-R-A-Y, pray. This is the manner. This is the outline of what God wants us to do. And I'm getting this from the Scripture, not from some whatever's on the internet or whatever's on a computer program. The first letter in pray is praise. I mean, it's P, which stands for praise. I'll get it right. Praise. Praise. Matthew 6:9. Follow me. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. If you will learn to do this, one verse, most of your problems will go away. Hallowed be your name. Pray in this manner. Hallowed be your name. Not, I come to you this morning with this 6-foot-long list of problems, needs you need to answer. And if you don't, you're not really God. Come on. You know what I'm telling you. You've had those thoughts. Don't act so innocent. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, what's happening to your focus? When you begin to say, hallowed be your name, what is happening to your focus? Your focus is beginning to change. You walked in, eyes open, to the room, shut the door, and all you can think about is all the pressures, problems, pains, pills. And you walk in and you begin to say, hallowed be your name. Your focus is going to change. So what is praise? Praise is telling Jesus, God, who He is and forgetting about who you are. Praise. It's changing your focus. The word pray, Strong's number is 4333. It means praise worship. I know you all got your definitions of what pray is, and none of you know what it is because none of you bothered to look up the word. It means worship. It don't mean pretty please. Can I have it? It means worship. In this manner, pray, worship, hallowed be your name. I'll guarantee you right now, if you begin to speak, hallowed be your name. Do it 10, 12, 15 times in a row. You're going to forget where you're at right now. Things are going to change in you. This is what Jesus is saying. Move toward Him with all focus and honesty. When you move towards God, you can't say, my problems are greater than your presence. You cannot say it. You cannot say my problems are greater than your presence. If you do, you are totally out of focus. The word heaven here. Our Father in heaven. The word is 3772. It means exalted high place. It means He encompasses all. It means He is all. It means without Him there is nothing. It does not mean a place where clouds float. It means He encompasses all. It means around the entire earth He is. Around the entire earth He is. Around in all of the earth He is. That's where God is. Our Father in heaven. Are in the most highly exalted place. Hallowed be your name, most exalted one. How do you move towards God? By exalting God and not your problems. When you speak your problems, you exalt your kingdom. When you tell Him who He is, you exalt Him and all answers. When you exalt Him, you raise Him to cover all of your answers. Are you hearing me? Here's the problems. Here's God. And when we first walked in, here's the problem and here's God. Within the first two verses, here's the problem and here's God. Who is God? The answer. God is not an impotent dictator. His name is not Saddam Hussein. His name is not your congressman. His name is not that crooked police officer that's out there. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Honest One, the Holy One, the Pure One, the One that never lies, the One that's never done you wrong. Ever in your life has God ever done you wrong. And you can trust that fact. And when you begin to say that, your problems just take the down elevator. You disexalt them. You disinherit them. You tear them out by the roots by using the God that is over all. Now this is an important thing I'm teaching you. This is not now I lay me down to sleep. This is something that we put in gear and we move. In this manner, pray. Hallowed be your name. Number 37 means holy, blameless, sacred is your name. How many of you, and you better not raise your hand, or maybe I should. Maybe I should just call hell on you if you lie to me. How many of you have blamed God for some of your problems in the last little bit? How many of you have said, this has happened and that has happened and I lost this and I gained that and I stumped this and I broke that and they stole this and they stole that, when in really what you're saying is God and you did it, I had nothing to do with it. You haven't been taking care of me like you told me you would. We made a deal back there. I gave you my heart. I promised to be a bum all of my life and do everything wrong, and you haven't blessed me one time. I promised you I'd do everything wrong, and you promised me in spite of that, you'd still bless me. Is that the scriptures you're quoting? You don't know the Bible if it is. You promised to serve Him. I know every one of you. When you gave your heart to God, you promised to serve Him all the days of your life. You promised to please Him all the days of your life and do what He asked you to do. So if that didn't happen, don't blame Him for the failure. Why did I say that way? It says He's blameless. Hallowed be Your name means blameless for You. I take it all. Whatever's wrong in my life, it's my fault. And the minute I learn to yield to You, there won't be any more wrong. Hallowed be Your name. Sacred is Your name. I'm going to quit using it just for every old thing in the world. Sacred is Your name. I'm not going to go around saying Jesus when I'm just using it as a vain swear word. I'm not going to smash my finger and say, God! You done cussed, you might as well say it. Because His name is sacred. It's not to be used as a shield over your hurt finger. Come on. His name is sacred. Hallowed be Your name. Separate Him from all other things. If He's sacred, if He's holy, you separate Him from your problems. You separate Him from your pain. You separate Him from your hurt. You separate Him from your want. Can you imagine the mountain I'm giving you right now? You have to separate Him from all of your problems. He's blameless from them. He didn't bring them on you. And as long as you say He does, you're going to have them forever. Because He's sacred and holy and blameless. You want Him to take them away? Then you become nothing. Let Him become everything and watch your problems go away. Separate Him from all other things. Place Him at the highest place. Never blame Him. Only exalt Him. Never blame Him. Only exalt Him. Never bring Him down to your level of one that makes a mistake. One that doesn't understand. That's not God. God knows everything, sees everything. You can trust Him. It's not enough for you to love Him. You've got to trust Him. You can trust, you can love that spouse, and that spouse can cheat on you. Not God. Not God. How many more things do I have to say? Hallowed be Your name. Holy, blameless, sacred is Your authority and Your character. Number 3686, name. It means His authority and character. Jesus is not His name. Emmanuel is His name. Savior is His name. Salvation is His name. Jesus was His handle. You want to get His attention, you say Jesus. You want to get His authority and character, you start calling Him about who He is. You start saying, You are my Savior. You are my healer. That's His authority. That's His character. You are the deliverer of the world. You are the Lamb of God. You are the Holy One. That's His character. That's His name. That's His authority. And when you begin to speak those things, then you can speak to the enemy in his character and authority, and they will flee. Not by just calling his handle. You work out there in the workplace. Do you know anybody by the name of Jesus? Well, that's Jesus. And it don't give him any power and authority, does it? Now, I'm not trying to tear down the name of Jesus. But you just remember, name does not mean handle. It means character and authority. When he was given that name, it meant Savior, Deliverer, Emmanuel. We've turned it into a handle. It's not His first. That is His first name, but it is not His character and authority. Hallowed be You, Savior, Healer, Deliverer, Holy One, Sanctified One, Blameless One. Now I promise you start saying some of the things I'm telling you right now, and you'll never make it to daily bread. You're going to get too excited and too blessed by His presence. You'll never get to the daily bread. Jesus knew that. He set a trap for you. Pray this way and fall into the presence of God. One, two, three. I don't know. What do you think? You tell me. What do you think? I'm ready to quit. Have I given you enough daily bread for today? All right. All right. I'm going to stop. Whoop. I got to. Oh, I'll remember. Hallowed be thy name. Pray in this manner. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the losers. When you see prayers being answered, it's not because of a pretty prayer. It's not because somebody had hot hands and laid on them. Even though all of that's appropriate, acceptable. What it is, and we'll even move on a little further on the next, not next Sunday, but the Sunday after. What it is that we've placed God at the highest place. We've placed Him above all problems, all situations. I didn't say we said Jesus, and now everything is taken care of. I said we went into the secret room, and we began to give Him praise. We begin to acknowledge who He is and who I'm not. We acknowledge who He is and what our problems are not. We're the ones that determine where we have problems or not. We are the ones. Not saying, Jesus! Am I against the name? Well, of course not. Of course not. I'm against those people that try to use it like a hammer to beat the devil over the head. When who has been given dominion? We have. And we do it by operating in the same character and authority as Jesus. What was Jesus' character and authority? He walked this earth as a man. He felt every feeling that a man does. Whoop! There goes your privilege. You ain't telling Jesus nothing that He hasn't already experienced. So don't try to go there like a little beat up kid. Going to the presence of God saying, why don't you cry for me? Can't you see what trouble I'm in? Yeah? Cry a little more. We need a little more water on the earth. Can you picture God saying this? You ain't touching me with those tears. I invented tears. You're not going to move me with tears. I want to hear what your heart says. Tell me what your... Who am I, God would say, as you enter into His presence? Who am I to you? Am I the plumber that's going to unstop the lines? Or am I the deliverer that can deliver you from all of those problems? You call on me just when you need me to repair something or fix? Or do you make me the Alpha so you don't ever have to worry about the Omega? This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Our Father, that means He's not mine, He's ours. Yeah. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Holy and blameless are You. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. If you can say that enough, you'll forget what you were going to tell Him. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, by the way, if I stay here long enough, I'm going to get a little hungry. How about give me some bread? Now let's move on. Something else He already knows. You know what? God needs to embarrass us once in a while by saying to us, you ain't telling me nothing I don't already know. Get to the point. What is the point? Well, the point is I have a need. You lost the frequency. You left the room, or He did. He's not there anymore. Why? Because you disobeyed an order from Jesus. Jesus said, in this manner, pray. Come on. Why are some of our prayers not answered? See, thank God we have a merciful God, and He at least listens. And at least answer sometimes when we don't deserve it, right? But I want them all answered. I want to be like Christ. I want God to hear and answer every prayer that I pray. So how must I do that? In this manner, you must pray. Can you remember this tomorrow, tonight, today, when God is reminding you that this is what you have to pray? If there's an attack on your life, I'm not trying to belittle an attack on someone's life. Don't blame God. Don't blame God. When Nehemiah said that the people had been destroyed and scattered, he didn't say, God, why did you do that? He said, I remember in your word it says that if you don't listen to me, God says, if you don't listen to me, then I'll scatter you across the face of the earth. I'll let your walls be burnt down. I'll just let the things happen because you must want it. You ain't exalting me. What did Nehemiah say? We've sinned. I can say to you, I haven't preached this enough, so I have sinned. I can say that openly. And I've caused you to sin. Now I'm changing it. I'm doing my part. It's going to be up to you now. In this manner, pray. When you bow your head over your meal, shut up. Isn't that what that said? Go in your room, shut your door. That takes a couple of seconds. Don't just start your mouth to running. Close your eyes. Why? See if God's there. Just for a second, see if God's there. Then ask Him, what would I say? I don't want to pray that old prayer I prayed yesterday. Now please, there's only so many words, so there's going to be some repetition. You got a problem. You're out of money. He already knows before you ask. He already knows. Don't waste your time telling Him what He already knows. Go find the Word, like Nehemiah said. You say in your Word. You said in your Word. Don't just look for His promises. Hey, the church is real good about this. And I told you this last Sunday. All I got to do is print out all the promises that God made you. I never include, if you I will, I will. If you will, I will. And I'll just have you shouting, running the walls, jumping up and down. Man, some of you are going to need the pens before the day's over. I mean, you're going to get so excited. But that's not all of it. See, Nehemiah didn't say, God, you said you would take care of the children. He said, God, you said that if we went wrong, we'd be scattered. And we went wrong, and we're scattered. Now we don't want to be scattered anymore. What do I do? What a prayer. What a prayer. God says, oh, I can use him. That guy I can use. He didn't spend the first 30 minutes of his prayer telling me about his problem. Anybody need this? I don't care if it's wife. I don't care if it's children. I don't care if it's health. I don't care if it's money. I don't care if it's job. I don't care if it's if the windows of heaven are sealed and you can't get through. God still is hearing. I don't care what you think. God is still hearing. What is He hearing? He's waiting and listening for in this manner pray. He's waiting to hear this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Not hallowed be my brokenness. Not hallowed be my sickness. Not hallowed be my no good wife or husband. Not hallowed be my no good grandchildren, my children that's gone astray. You understand what I'm saying? Exalting the problem instead of hallowed be blameless are you, holy are you, sacred are you. Okay? Stand with me. We'll get through this next week. We're not going to be in a hurry, though, because hallowed be His name. We're not going to exalt the message, just the one that speaks. And that's not me. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, I'm not here this morning to get anybody saved. I'm here to get you safe. The message is not so that you'll remember who Jesus is as far as the Savior. It's to get you to remember who God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit is as the Deliverer. Amen? So I'll ask you, all hearts clear in this matter. Now, I know they're not. I know they're not. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, I don't hear anybody repenting, so I'll repent for them. We, your people, repent from foolishness and nonsense and wasted words and vain repetitions and exalting problems. I do that, Lord, because I'm as guilty as anyone in here. The message is for me. I repent and I want to change. I want my habit to be as it used to be. Hallowed be your name. I stand in your presence, Lord, every moment of every day, not looking for a place, but actually standing in the room, saying every moment of every day, hallowed be your name. There is no name that's above your name. I will not allow any name to become above your name. It'll cry, it'll scream, it'll yell, but I'll not allow any situation or name to be above your name, because I'm going to be yelling from the housetops, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Blameless is your name. Sacred and pure is your name. You are. You are. Praise you, Lord. I am the one with fault and with sin. You are the blameless one. I come to you for answers, for help, for direction. I will not allow my flesh, my wants, my needs to direct me. Only you will direct me. Hallelujah. Holy is your name. Praise you, Jesus. Holy is your name, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. I exalt you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let every life be changed, including this one, by holy is your name. Hallowed, pure, blameless, sacred is your name, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Then teach us not only to pray it, but to live it, Lord. And to live it openly in front of people. Not screaming, holy is your name. But the actual steps, the walks of our lives, exalt you. That we never ever get mad at you. That we never ever try to hold you accountable. That is your very name, is accountable. You're the truth. You're the life. You're the way. There's none like you. There's no answer I need but you, Lord. There's no direction I need but you, Lord. And the world needs you through me, Lord. Let me be the pure, holy vessel, praying in this manner, hallowed be your name. Praise you, Lord. Let me cease my words and let your words come forth. Thy will be done. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. King of kings and Lord of lords, we love you, Lord. We trust you. We seek no other God. We seek no other source. Let that be the law in our life. Let that be the mark on our forehead. Let that be the goal of our existence, to give you praise, to give you honor, to give you glory. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now sink these words deep, deep, deep. Bring forth a harvest of praise and a harvest of glory for you and a harvest of exaltation to you. And then we will say what Nehemiah said in this walk and in this determination. Prosper your people, Lord. In this correct direction, prosper your people. Empower them so that they can more and more every day exalt you as a righteous people, standing on top of every problem, not being taken down by any. Give that man courage. Give that woman courage. Holy Spirit, let them know who I'm talking about. Give that man courage. Give that woman courage to stand against the wiles of the enemy, to know who God is and know what He says. And to be able to say, in the face of any obstacle, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Not to be afraid, and not to be worried, and not to lose sleep, because we're resting in the arms of the Father doing His will, seeking His will. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against, hallowed be your name, can prosper. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. This is not a cheerleading session. This is not a positive speaking session. This is the truth. This is the life. This is the way. We move into that, Lord. Hallelujah. Erase every negative thought now. Erase every offense now. And in the character, in the authority, in Jesus' name, We pronounce healing and prosperity and obedience on your people. Hallelujah. Everybody that agrees with this, in Jesus' name, say, it is finished.
It is finished.
So be it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Give him a hand clap. Give him a hoop. Give him whatever. We give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Well, y'all, don't let our guests or our unfamiliar get out of here. Shake hands with them and be friendly. Be dismissed.